Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
On a cultural crusade all across America, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where there's a great slogan out there which many Americans believe holds the key to world harmony. The slogan, Land for Peace. As applied to the Middle East, that slogan raises the question, why won't Israel give back some of the territory that it conquered in 1967 in return for Arab recognition and promises of peace? Well, you know what? Israel tried to do just that. Not yesterday, not the day before yesterday, but more than 30 years ago. And the fact that it didn't work out as well as you might expect is part of our special broadcast today, Five Middle Eastern Wars. A special broadcast on the Michael Medved Show to give you the perspective you need to understand the current issues that involve America, whether we like it or not, issues involving war and peace in the Middle East. Israel wins a sweeping victory in the 1967 June War, the Six-Day War, a victory that hugely enlarges the Israeli land area, adding the Sinai and the West Bank and East Jerusalem and the Golan Heights. But no one in Israel expected that all of those territorial gains would be permanent. In fact, Walter Eitan, who was the first director general of the Israeli Foreign Office, wrote in 1973, "It was widely assumed, even by members of the Israel government," he wrote, "that this third round of fighting after 1948 and 1956 must be the last, and that peace could be around the corner. It was taken for granted."
His number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a particularly great day for the Michael Medved Show because it's a day in which we are going to celebrate one of the great American lives of the 20th century. In fact, one of the great American lives in all of our history. This is a very special broadcast that will feature an exclusive interview with the son of the man we are profiling. That man, the 40th President of the United States, a very special show called What Was So Great About President Reagan. And we highlight this story with some music that actually meant a great deal to President Reagan. We'll tell you about its associations as we go along. But this is necessary to do, it seems to me, because since President Reagan's funeral, he seems to have entered the pantheon, and so many people think of him, rightly, it seems to me, as a great president, without knowing some of the details of his struggles and how he got to that position and what he really meant to the country in terms of policy and in terms of personality. So many mistakes about Ronald Reagan. So many people know that he was a movie actor, and they sort of put him aside as a movie actor because that was what he did before the presidency. But he was much more than that. One of the points that Peggy Noonan makes in an interesting book called When Character Was King, A Story of Ronald Reagan, it's not meant to be a comprehensive biography, it's a series of her observations, having worked for him as one of his speechwriters, is that of all the presidents of the 20th century, Reagan's background was obviously the most humble. It's actually an arguable point, but Noonan writes in her book that Ronald Reagan's beginnings were the most modest and lacking of any president of the past 100 years. And the odd thing about that is it never quite gets said. But Reagan is unique, she writes, in that his family had no status or standing, was neither of the local gentry nor the middle class, had no profession to claim, such as nurse or doctor, and owned nothing, no humble farm or small store. They were renters. They rented extremely inexpensive apartments, sometimes one-room apartments for their two sons. Reagan's father, Jack, was a shoe salesman. Now, this question about Reagan's humble origins compared to other presidents of the 20th century
Richard Nixon came from humble origins, and his father, like Reagan's father, was a drinking man. And his mother, like Reagan's mother, was a deeply religious woman. But Nixon's father owned the gas station and owned a lemon farm, a lemon ranch, and grew lemons. Reagan's parents owned nothing until he bought them a house, the first house they had ever owned, the first property they had ever owned, after Reagan began to make his way in Hollywood. The only president of the 20th century who might be comparable to Reagan in terms of poverty, no, not Harry Truman. Harry Truman grew up on a small farm, not Dwight Eisenhower, whose dad worked steadily and was respected locally. The only one might be Herbert Hoover, who became an orphan as a young boy and then had to go out and live with an uncle in Oregon. But this is all significant because we have come to take for granted to such an extent in this country, particularly because of President Bush 43 and President Bush 41. President Bush 41, George Herbert Walker Bush, who was Reagan's vice president, was the son of a U.S. senator. And of course, this President Bush is the son of a U.S. president and the grandson of a U.S. senator. And in between was Clinton, and Clinton, despite all this stuff about the man from Hope, Clinton's stepfather, who he's named after, I mean, he's named William Jefferson Clinton, despite the fact his birth name was Blythe, because his stepfather was Clinton, was a pretty prosperous guy in Hot Springs, Arkansas, who owned a car dealership. Now, I'm not comparing owning a car dealership to the idea of somebody being the son, oh, say, of a governor like Mitt Romney is. His father was a governor of Michigan. And today, we are just so full of politicians like Al Gore, for instance, who, of course, is the son of another U.S. senator. So many politicians who come from distinguished backgrounds. It's pretty amazing when you think about where Reagan came from. He was born in downstate Illinois, Tampico, Illinois, a tiny little town. His father never held that much regular employment. He was a traveling salesman, a shoe salesman. He worked in different places. And he drank. And this was the bane of Reagan's existence. His parents seemed an odd match in many ways. His mother, who Reagan worshipped and saw just as a wonderful person, was a very enthusiastic member of the Disciples of Christ Church. She was evangelical. She believed very much in the basic premises of evangelical Christianity. His father, Jack Reagan, was Irish Catholic. And Reagan's brother was initially a Catholic, and Reagan himself made the choice to go to the Protestant side of the family when he was older. But one of the things that he describes in his memoirs is deep embarrassment about his dad. His dad apparently could tell a good yarn. He was charming, as Reagan was charming. He was a handsome man. And he would go for weeks on end as a fairly sober, productive, good father. But then there would come binge drinking. One of the things that Reagan remarked to his friends when he looked back was that as a boy, he never knew whether to look forward to Christmas or whether to dread it. Look forward to it because, of course, of the gifts and the joy of the season. To dread it because that would be an occasion when his father would drink and sometimes would be passed out in public and would behave very poorly. In his autobiography, which is called Where's the Rest of Me, Reagan's first autobiography, which he wrote himself in 1965, he described his mother, Nell Reagan, as a deeply religious woman with bright blue eyes who, quote, had the conviction everyone loved her just because she loved them. My father's cynicism never made the slightest impression on her, while I suspect her sweetness often undermined his practical viewpoint of the world. Neither she nor my father had ever graduated from any school but the elementary grades. No diploma was needed for kindness, in her opinion, just as my father believed energy and hard work were the only ingredients needed for success. The idea that Reagan could come from a background like this, about as humble a background as any president, certainly of the 20th century, and then become someone who changed the world the way he did, should be an indication to people of why it was that he had such a passionate love affair with America. When Ronald Reagan talked about the American dream, when he talked about a country where anything can happen, when fairy tales can come true, where there was a shining city on the hill, he was talking about himself. He was talking about his own experience. A young man who was called Dutch from the time he was little, apparently, at least according to family stories, stories including ones that, oh, President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, also repeats. This is what President Reagan always said. He was called Dutch because when he was a little kid...
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. News on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, special edition of the Michael Medved Show. Music in the background from the favorite movie of a pretty frequently underrated actor named Reagan, Ronald Reagan. We're speaking to somebody else named Reagan, Ron Reagan, the president's son. In this special broadcast, what was so great about President Reagan? Ron, your whole life, you've been living with people who feel close to your father, including people who never met him.
Mm-hmm.
He's your father. People who claim to be representing his values, his ideals, to be in some sense keepers of the Reagan flame. If you were to try to isolate what it is about your dad that is most frequently gotten wrong, what would it be? What do people get wrong about it?
Well, first of all, I should say that I don't hold myself out to be an authority on the careers of Ronald Reagan. I'm his son. I never covered him as a journalist. I didn't commentate on him while I was there. I can tell you that somebody gave me, just as a little prequel, when I was a teenager, somebody gave me a campaign-style button once that had his picture on it, and it said, "Ronald Reagan is definitely not a lesbian." So there's anybody.
Special broadcast, Five Middle Eastern Wars, on the background to the current Israeli-Arab conflict. In October 1973, on a quiet Yom Kippur morning with most of Israel at prayer, the Arabs struck in a brilliantly conceived and extraordinarily well-executed military maneuver both from Egypt and from Syria. And this represented at least a strategic short-term triumph that later allowed Anwar Sadat, who had helped to conceive it and execute it, to have the kind of dignity that he needed to be the first Arab leader to make peace with Israel. In any event, the strike was not peaceful at all when it occurred on Yom Kippur Day. It was, in fact, brutal. It arrived with 240 Egyptian warplanes flying over the Suez Canal and some 80,000 Egyptians pouring over the canal and into the Sinai Peninsula that was still being held by Israel, and overwhelming some of the 16 isolated Israeli forts along the Barlev line on the eastern side of the canal. The odds were not promising. 436 Israelis were there, most of them reservists, most of them amateurs, were there in the forts facing tens of thousands, ultimately 80,000 Egyptians. There was also about the same sort of odds on the northern front, where the Syrians were able to muster some 1,800 attack tanks against less than 200 Israeli tanks facing them. And the Arab armies made dramatic progress in the opening stages of the war, partially because the SAMs, the surface-to-air missiles, made it very difficult for Israel to use its air force in the way that it had done in 1967. In fact, the losses of the Israeli air force were devastating. Nearly a third of its planes shot down at one engagement or another, largely by these surface-to-air missiles and the anti-aircraft fire that the Arabs were able to muster. The dramatic events involved these Israeli forts, so isolated, and as Martin Gilbert, historian of Israel, writes, the names of defenders of these forts have become legendary in Israel. Among them, Corporal Orlev, Lieutenant Shlomo Ardenest, and Captain Moti Ashkenazi. Because these handful of people, commanding in some cases just dozens, were able to hold out for necessary hours while the mobilization orders went out across Israel and the hundreds of thousands of reservists came to the front. One of the things that people have observed is it's an irony that the Arabs chose to attack on Yom Kippur, because the one advantage that attacking on that day gave to the Israelis is everybody was concentrated, basically, in synagogue at prayer.
So it was easier than it would have been to get the word to people about where to go and to leave immediately. And, of course, even the most orthodox of rabbis acknowledge that Yom Kippur and the restrictions on travel and communication have to fall away in case of dire national emergency. There's one story that's told by Chaim Herzog, who's a historian of all of Israel's wars and a leading Israeli politician, that was told to him by an Egyptian general after the war. And that Egyptian general talked about a lone Israeli tank that fought off the attacking forces for over half an hour, causing very heavy casualties to my men when they tried to storm it. When they finally overcame it, the Egyptian general recounted how, to his utter amazement, he found that all of the crew inside the tank had been killed, with the exception of one wounded soldier, who had continued to fight. The Egyptian general described how impressed he and his men were by this man, who was, as he was being carried away on a stretcher to a waiting ambulance, saluted the Egyptian general. With Israeli mobilization, the tide began to turn. And one of the decisive elements to be mobilized was the most controversial general in Israeli history. His name was Ariel Sharon. He's described much, much earlier after the Suez campaign, nearly 20 years earlier in 1956. He was described by Chaim Herzog as a very independently minded and assertive character. He can best be described as a Patton-like, swashbuckling general who rose in the ranks of the Israel Defense Forces, proved himself to have an uncanny feel for battle, but at the same time to be a most difficult person to command. Few of any of his superior officers over the years had a good word to say about him, as far as human relations and integrity were concerned, although none would deny his innate ability as a field soldier. Probably because of this, he never achieved his great ambition to be chief of staff of the armed forces. In fact, he had left the army, had gone into politics, had organized the new Likud party. The conservative party in Israel today was actually founded by Ariel Sharon before the October War of 1973. But with the battle raging, he couldn't stay out of the battle. He came back into the army and took over part of the Southern Command. And he had a daring scheme, which he fought for relentlessly, and finally his superiors in the government allowed him to put it forward. The scheme was that the Egyptians had crossed over going from west to east into the Israeli section of the Sinai, the section that the Israelis had controlled. They crossed the Suez Canal. What Sharon said is as the Israelis were throwing thousands of men trying to counterattack to drive the Egyptians back across the canal, so let's go in behind them. Let's go below them, cross over the canal in the other direction, and head toward Cairo. And we will have the Egyptians in the Sinai surrounded. He was initially turned down. He fought. His nickname, after all, is Bulldozer. And Ariel...
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Nikki Haley has decided to halt her campaign for the GOP presidential nomination.
I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
The former South Carolina governor told supporters that she wishes Donald Trump well without officially endorsing him. There's an expectation that interest rates will decrease at some point this year. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell mentioned that in prepared remarks on Capitol Hill. However, Powell clarified that he is not prepared to specify the exact timing yet. Wildfires are wreaking havoc on the Texas cattle industry. According to State Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, the death toll for cattle has reached at least 3,600 and it continues to rise. Miller emphasized the urgent requirement for hay to help feed the surviving cows. John Schaefer, USA News.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
34 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a special edition about the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Wilson Reagan, joined this hour by President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, who is my colleague and my friend, who, by the way, I think illustrates one aspect of your father's life and approach to life, which is that it's possible to have political disagreement without being disagreeable.
Indeed, yeah.
Your father, when he graduated from high school in 1928, and one of the things about his life is when you read about his early life in downstate Illinois and a difficult background and moving around from town to town, he graduated from high school, and in his high school yearbook, it says Donald Reagan. They got his name wrong, Dutch, but apparently everybody called him Dutch as far as he
could. Pretty much, yeah. His father started that when he was a little child. He said he looked like a fat little Dutchman. He had that little kind of Dutch boy haircut when he was a little baby, and so they, yeah, called him Dutch.
So everybody got to put in his or her creed, and the Reagan creed was, life is just one grand sweet song, so start the music.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like the older Ronald Reagan?
Yes and no. There was always that part to him. He was very optimistic. He was a sunny personality and pleasant to be with. I think later on in life, though, as you might expect, as with most people, he had suffered disappointments. He had gone through a divorce. There had been a physical injury where he shattered his leg playing a song.
Michael
Michael Medved Show, a special broadcast. We're talking now about the fourth of five Middle Eastern wars under discussion. In this case, the October War of 1973, the Yom Kippur War. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement in Jewish tradition. This became known to many as the War of Atonement, atonement for Israeli overconfidence. There were 2,688 Israeli soldiers who gave their lives in this struggle. That represents many times, some four times, the number of Israelis, nearly, who died in the Six-Day War just some 6 years before. And there was a feeling that the war, while it was absolutely necessary, Israel had been attacked after all, that was very clear, had resolved absolutely nothing. And that's particularly true because Henry Kissinger, the American Secretary of State, working with President Nixon, used his clout with Israel, which was considerable because the American resupply in the midst of the October War had been so crucial to Israel's survival. Kissinger used his clout to have the Israelis stand down and to avoid massacring some thousands of Egyptian soldiers who were very available for massacre in the Sinai. They were surrounded. Behind them, they had the Israelis on the west side of the Suez Canal, and then massed Israeli forces in front of them on the Sinai. Kissinger saw an opportunity for peace, and he believed firmly, and he probably was right, that by allowing the Egyptians to end the war with less than a total crushing defeat, that might create the possibility for negotiations. And it was actually the Egyptian president himself, the hero of the crossing, as he became known in the Arab world after the October War, which was certainly the closest thing to an Arab victory in any of the Israeli-Arab wars. The hero of the crossing, Sadat, was able to change the world by his trip to Jerusalem in November 1977. And you can look at some of the tape, some of the film of that visit, and it's still thrilling, it's still inspiring to see it, to see this old warrior sitting down at a banquet between Menachem Begin, the then Israeli prime minister, and his old adversary Moshe Dayan, smiling and talking. I mean, the idea of peace when Anwar Sadat, the Egyptian president, actually spoke to the Israeli Knesset seemed all too real and tantalizingly real. And so after very, very difficult negotiations, which President Carter helped to conduct at Camp David, there was an agreement that Israel would give back to Egypt all of the territory which Israel had seized, all of the territory except for Gaza, which was part of what had been seized during the Six-Day War in 1967, not the October War. And Gaza, home to soon to be 1 million Palestinian refugees who got more and more numerous in Gaza, was simply something that Sadat did not want to take back as part of Egypt because it was supposed to be part of some future Palestinian state. And in any event, the idea of having 1 million Gazans incorporated in Egypt wasn't appealing to Sadat. The point about the Camp David Accords, which were negotiated, is that they held. They were put into practice. Part of what Israel had to do was to dismantle some settlements that it had built in Sinai, particularly a very large settlement of several thousand people called Yamit. And ironically, it was General Ariel Sharon, the Israeli hero of the October War, who actually was assigned to use the military force to take the unwilling Israeli settlers out of the Sinai to give the territory back to Egypt. No matter how one felt about the Camp David Accords, and Sharon, for one, opposed them at the time, the fact that there has been no major war involving Egypt was a tremendous tribute to Henry Kissinger, to Menachem Begin, to Anwar Sadat, and the people who negotiated this agreement. But it didn't mean that there was peace, because there was still open conflict on the border with Syria, and most of all, conflict with the Palestinians. Because with the removal of the biggest Arab nation from the war coalition against Israel, a great deal of the focus came from the Palestinians. The Palestinian radicals had been driven out of Jordan by King Hussein way back in 1970. They had established a new base of operations in Lebanon called Fatah Land after their organization Al-Fatah. And they use that base of operations for terrorist attacks all around the world. In 1982, in the midst of a terrible civil war in Lebanon, an Israeli defense minister named Ariel Sharon decided to do something about it with mixed results. I'll tell you about it coming up. This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. As the nation struggles with our legacy of racism and inequality, many well-intentioned Americans embrace lies about white privilege, the idea that people of European ancestry enjoy vast advantages based solely on their ongoing oppression of all people of color. But many measures of well-being contradict this simplistic theory. Most recent numbers show white life expectancy declining, while Asian American people can expect to live a full 8 years longer, and Latino children will live on average 4 years longer than whites. Suicide in America claims twice as many lives as murder, and white people have the highest suicide rates, almost double those of black people. The largest number of crime victims, welfare recipients, drug deaths, and most other measures of misery are white. This doesn't mean black families don't suffer from intolerable race-based inequalities that must be overcome, but it's no solution to focus on purported white privilege that actually doesn't exist. I'm Michael Medved. On this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Five Middle Eastern Wars, we're looking at the 1980s, when, after making peace with Egypt, the biggest threat to Israel's survival came from the northern border, where there was almost constant shelling of some of Israel's northern communities, where there was a tremendous terrorist presence that had been established in Lebanon. The reason it was in Lebanon is because the Palestine Liberation Organization had been driven out, with some people estimate 10,000 casualties, by Jordan's King Hussein, from where it had been established in Jordan, had been driven into Lebanon and established what really was very similar to the Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan, worldwide terrorist camps drawing between 15 and 18,000 people, including at least 5,000 foreign mercenaries from as far away as India and Pakistan and Mozambique, who came to this terror complex, Terror Central, and organized attacks on American and Israeli interests all around the world. Ariel Sharon, the tough Israeli Patton who had been the big hero of the October War, was served. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, MichaelMedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists
to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Fast hour it's been with Ron Reagan talking about some of the recollections and observations about his father, President Reagan. One of the things about that is the question about discussions of racial attitudes, racial issues. Your father was governor of California right after the Watts riots. The Watts riots are one of the things that helped to sink his predecessor, Pat Brown. Mm-hmm. And there were so many racial issues at the time. Did your father express himself on those issues as you were growing up? For instance, were you aware of Dr. Martin Luther King? You were 10 years old when Dr. King was mm-hmm. killed. But was that something that would have been talked about at home?
To some extent, I remember the issue of the Voting Rights Act. And my father did not support the Voting Rights Act. But he did so not because he wanted segregated schools and, you know, black people to be, you know, kept down. He, you know, it was a more sort of federalist issue for him.
Well, as
he
didn't was for the, Goldwater.
Yeah, the federal government shouldn't be telling states what they should do about, you know, thus and such. But he was not, he was not a bigot. That just wasn't part of his makeup.
You mention your father not being a bigot. One of the issues in which people have been fighting over the Reagan mantle, and one of the things about you, you don't claim to hold the Reagan mantle.
No, oh no.
You hold the Reagan name and you hold your family's history.
But sure.
Is the issue of immigration. Mm-hmm. Do you think your father would have supported some of those people who claim to speak in his name, who, for instance, believe that the 12 million Americans who are living here illegally right now need to all go home?
I don't think so. I don't make it a habit of, speaking for my father. Didn't when he was alive, don't now that he's dead. He was an intensely practical guy, too. You know, he wanted to discover what worked in a given situation. And clearly, shipping 12 million people south of the border is unworkable, and he would have realized that. He also had nothing against, actually was quite fond of, Mexican culture. He saw that as a big part of the California identity, for obvious reasons, and embraced it fully. Now, he would have thought that America had a right to defend her borders, we certainly shouldn't just, you know, throw the doors open. Anybody who wants to show up can. But he had no animus towards Mexican people. And, you know, while many of them don't admit it, you don't have to listen too hard to hear in the pronouncements of some people who are vehemently anti-immigration and for sending the 12 million back, that there's a cultural and racial aspect to this that would have made my father very uncomfortable, I believe.
In terms of mistakes, every politician, every leader, every human being makes mistakes. You ever know your father to feel regret or apologetic about some mistakes in his life or his leadership?
Well, I happened to be back in Washington while the Iran-Contra thing was all sort of coming to a head. And actually, when he wrote participated in writing the speech that he ultimately delivered to the country, where he admitted that in fact there had been an arms for hostages deal, and in fact some of the money had gone to the Contras and all. I think it was hard for him to believe in that instance that there were people working for him, people around him, who were doing things behind his back, who were doing things he wouldn't have approved of, and were running this sort of game on the side. And I think he regretted not policing that more effectively.
Hmm. So you're not one of those people who buys the idea that, well, President Reagan was secretly manipulating this whole thing behind the scenes?
No, he knew about the arms for hostages, right, if you will, although he didn't see it that way. He thought he was just negotiating with middlemen and, frankly, trying to save people's lives.
Of course.
But the other part, the Contra aspect, he didn't know anything about it.
We'll be right back with Ron Reagan a few moments more, talking about his father, the 40th President of the United States, Ronald Wilson Reagan. The special broadcast, What Was So Great About President Reagan?
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. With names changing on public buildings and statues coming down almost everywhere, the cancel culture now also wants to remake our money. A full page in the New York Times proposed new faces for our coins and bills, emphasizing diversity and artistic achievement, not political leadership. They wanted Marsha P. Johnson, a self-described black drag queen and activist, for the $10 bill, with Wilma Mankiller, first female chief of the Cherokee Nation, for the $5 bill. More than 50 other historical figures also received consideration, with white males mentioned only if they were gay or leftist radicals. This meant no Mark Twain, no Frank Lloyd Wright, no Frank Capra, no George Gershwin, and so forth. In fact, reviewing the Times list reveals an inconvenient truth. In the arts, as in government, the American tradition has been shaped most importantly, though hardly exclusively, by males of European ancestry. Pretending otherwise counts as both ignorant and dishonest. I'm Michael Medved.
Minutes after the hour, and a very fast hour it's been, with Ron Reagan talking about some of the recollections and observations about his father, President Reagan. In terms of the end of your father's life, the long twilight, people have described it, he clearly followed the election of 1992 with some interest and passion when his vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush, lost to President Clinton. Mm-hmm. Would that have been the last election he followed with interest?
That would have been the last presidential election by 96. I don't believe, while he would have been aware that there was a presidential election, by that time he wouldn't have been following it.
The world was shrinking,
yes,
closing in on him. And in terms of the last stages of his life, was there one thing that he held on to more than others in terms of
his personality? Really stayed virtually to the end, and you could ask his nurses about that, who were there, you know, 24 hours a day, the last couple of years at least. He, a lot of Alzheimer's patients, through no fault of their own, we're talking about a brain disease here, can have fits of rage and paranoia and all sorts of things. There was almost none of that with him. He retained, even when he lost the ability to speak and to communicate, he still retained this, you could tell it was him in there somewhere, that this sort of essential sweetness of personality that he had.
Speaking of that, in terms of your own career, what were his hopes for you?
I think he just wanted his children to be happy and to follow their own dreams and do whatever they wanted. He never,
He never wanted you to go into politics.
No, never meant it, and that's a good thing because I won't disappoint him.
I see, but he did radio, of course, early
on
in his career.
Yes, he did.
Do you think he would get a kick out of the fact that you're doing a daily radio show talking about the issues?
I think he would, and he would have loved to talk to me about when he was doing radio and how he used to do this or that or the other thing. Yeah, he would have gotten a kick out of that.
Have you ever thought how cool it would be on your radio show, which I enjoy hearing it when I can, how cool it would have been to interview your dad?
Well, on almost every job in journalism or commentary, whatever I've had in the media, I've been asked at some time when he was still alive to somehow score an interview with your father, and I always refused. I wouldn't do that because it would be pointless. I mean, how do you either do a hatchet job on your own father or you do a powder puff thing with your own father, and neither one of those interested me. So.
Mm-hmm. In terms of advice that he would give you at this point in your career, what do you think he would say?
Well, he used to tell us when we were kids growing up that a gentleman always does the kind thing. And I think that that's something that always stays with me. And I think that he would have that same advice for me today.
Something beautiful to stay with all of us. In remembering one of the great Americans of the last century or of any century, the 40th President of the United States, speaking with Ron Reagan, his son, in this special broadcast, What Was So Great About President Reagan.
Goodbye. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
It's not just at the college level. Students of all ages are being taught a skewed and false narrative about American history. That's why there's no better time to check out MedvedHistoryStore.com. There are so many programs available to share with your kids. Shows on the U.S. Constitution, our greatest and worst presidents, World War II, the Vietnam War, the American Revolution, profiles of great presidents like George Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, and so many more. Listen as Michael tells stories from our nation's past and brings them to life in vivid detail. It's never been more important to teach our kids the true story of America's past at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A reclusive writer of espionage thrillers suddenly finds herself dragged into a dangerous spy network that she knows nothing about in the romantic comedy thriller Argylle.
Who are these people?
Real life spies.
Why would they care about me?
When you wrote in your new book, actually happened, and you kicked a hornet's nest you didn't even know existed.
I'm in some really big trouble.
That's Bryce Dallas Howard as the central character, who it turns out has more layers of complexity than you would expect. Other stars like Superman Henry Cavill and conniving master spies Bryan Cranston and Samuel L. Jackson also turn up, with Sam Rockwell as a surprising, long-suffering leading man. The storyline is preposterous, silly, but always intriguing, and the laughs are more generously emphasized than the thrills. Rated PG-13 for some often comic action. 3 stars for the inventive and entertaining Argylle.
Hey, old man. Yeah, you, baby boomer. Are you feeling tired, run down, old, have aches and pains? Do you have a lack of energy that you once had in your youth? Carbon 60 is a new technology to help you restore your youth. Now, this is not hype or a gimmick. You see, Carbon 60 detoxifies you at the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. The results reported with energy, health, and vitality are nothing short of miraculous. In short order, you'll notice a difference in a few days. It's not a drug. It's carbon. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.